fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Briggs Sorber, who's the chief executive officer of Two Men in a Truck. I finally got that right. I've been calling him president all week long. So those Two Men in a Truck employees who are listening, I'm sorry for getting it wrong all week long.
Well, I was at one time, so they're used to it.
You probably had every hat in the place.
Pretty close, yeah.
But Brig and his brother and family really are co-founders of Two Men in a Truck. And it's not only a huge story, a great story about an extremely successful business that's now going international, but there's a faith journey there. And if you're just tuning in to the program today, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are archived there. Brig has been with us all week long, and I think his story is both entertaining, inspiring, and there's a lot of good nuggets in there for you who are listening. I think it's been very encouraging for me as well. You can listen to it right there on the computer, download it to whatever device works for you. You can listen to it at your leisure. So welcome back, Brig.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
Some of the stuff I'm really intrigued by is the transition from, you know, we talked about so eloquently of really, you jumped into the pool, that is, you decided to entrust your whole life to Christ and began to pursue him. And things like, it lifted a burden of responsibility for the business off you that you were carrying that wasn't an appropriate burden, but very understandable. It's a burden he carries. You know, he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And you're talking about coming into that whole transition. So one of the keys to the transition also is learning how to develop sort of daily disciplines in the spiritual life.
Yeah.
And how does a busy man, growing family, huge demands from your business, how does that happen? And how did it happen in your life? It never happens perfectly, but how did it unfold in your life? And what difference did it make?
Well, I think it started way back from when I was reading Christian books, and my wife told me, hey, you should listen to this guy, Charles Stanley, on the radio. And I turned him on. This was, oh my goodness, probably 18, 20 years ago. And I cracked up. He's a Southern guy, you know, and but he really hit home. And when the internet got big, I Googled Charles Stanley, and I found he had a daily devotional. And so I just signed up for that. I've had that sent to me. He sends it out probably about 4 in the morning, so I get up pretty early, but it's there on my computer. I started sending it to my brother John, sister Melanie, and then my mom, and then I started sending it out. Now I think there's probably about 160 people every morning I send that out to, and it touches a lot of people, and it's biblically based. And even this morning, I started out with that daily devotional. Max Lucado is another one, probably maybe softer food for Christians starting out. The message is just rock solid. So that one pops up at about 11 o'clock. So I'm on the computer, and these are things that you can read in like 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Again, biblically based. My brother and sister and I decided many years ago to have a Bible study at Two Men in a Truck. We're privately held. We can do what we want, right?
Right.
We had a Bible study for years. It went away, and then I had an employee just say, Brick, can we start a Bible study? And I said, yeah. I said, how about if we have somebody run it for us? A good friend of mine, the Reverend Coy Boyer, started up a church in Lansing. Again, a Southern Baptist, very heavily biblically based. He comes in. We invite the whole office in every Tuesday from 11:30 to 12:30. Bring your food in. So, you know what? We only get 10 to 15 people, but that's not up to me. It's not up to me to have our employees come. They're invited constantly. Many of them are very strong Christians that are just too busy, that don't want to. Mm-hmm. Many of them have made the time to do it. So the Ten Commandments we have put on stone in our front, encased in our building by the front door with a light on it, just in case you're there in the morning or at night, as a reminder for us of, you know, the rules of business. If you read those, you'll see them in there. And
what do you mean, the rules of business? You'll see them in the Ten Commandments. Well, what do you mean?
I really think, you know what, it's telling the truth, being respectful, all of these things. If you read into them and then put business to them, overlay business to them, you will find them in there. Yeah. And I really challenge your listeners to do that. Take a look at them and read them, and then take a look at your philosophy in business. Maybe it's your mission statement or your core values, your core vision for your business. Do they align with those? Mm-hmm. I think is a really good practice. Ours do. and I'm very proud of that. So
if someone's listening today and they're owner of a small business and have a dozen employees or something or whatever, whoever's listening, and they find themselves in that position, they start thinking, well, you know, I have never really thought about it that way in my business. Like, does my business align with the Ten Commandments or other things? They've always been separate realities. My faith has been a private, separate thing from my business. And I am in charge, and it is my business. What kind of advice would you give them to maybe taking some steps to begin to make that integration happen a little bit more?
You have to believe it in yourself first. I mean, you can't look at that. Again, I will use the minimalist Catholic. I don't know if you can do it. I mean, I think you really have to jump into the deep end of the pool. You have to allow God to scrub your heart and to start showing you the way. It doesn't mean that you're ever there. I don't know if we're ever there or not. But you need to take a look and go, no, this is the right direction in my life. And this is something I want to share with some other people. And it's not necessarily making rules for your business that are Christ-based. How about you start showing in your heart that there's a difference in you?
Mm-hmm.
The decisions that you make every day, or people look at that and go, that's a really, what, how did you come about that? That's not basic business. And start doing those types of things and then bring in, maybe it is a Bible study. Maybe if you're a publicly held company and you just can't do that, nobody can stop you from acting like a Christian in the secular world. And sometimes we do fly against the decisions that we make. You want to know why? Because they're faith decisions. And you might be making a decision that it could hurt you. How many times do we make decisions that we're protecting ourselves? That's not faith. Faith is listening to God, praying to God, a direction that you may have to go into that leaves you vulnerable. But you know what? If you've got God underneath you, you're okay to be vulnerable because he's got you. Mm-hmm. So many times we make these decisions, I got to protect myself. And I don't know if you can really listen to the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you can really run your business or your profession in a Christian way with that kind of protectionism attitude. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it does. And I'm just thinking as you're speaking things like the golden rule, something as simple as, you know, treat others the way you'd want to be treated, you know, or the church's social teaching is so good on this stuff, just that every single human being is an end and not a means. That, you know, human beings are not instruments for me to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I always, in the workplace or wherever I am, I have to remember the dignity of the human person. I have to run my business with justice, and I have to run it and fulfill its goals and its purposes. But I got to do it in a way that I always, even if I have to let somebody go, as you were saying yesterday, I have to do it in a way that respects the dignity of that person. I might actually have to let them go.
You
okay.
do, yeah.
You know, you have to make very difficult decisions, but you do it in a way that does show dignity and respect to the person. And that's kind of what I got out of what you said yesterday about some of the decisions you've had to make.
Oh, and they're brutal. Yeah. I mean, I've let people go that I would walk into my office and shut the door and literally lay on the floor and cry. Because to see somebody get so devastated devastates my own heart, and I pray for them. And there's some people. Now that's not every case, okay?
Sure.
Some of them are very, very difficult. But I also know God wants that to happen. I think so many people think, well, if you got God in your business is soft. Wrong-o.
Yeah.
There's some things I didn't want to do that kept pressing on my heart. It's like, are you kidding me? I just went through this. I don't want to do this. And,
yeah.
And then it shows up. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, Peter. So I pray for God to show me in multiple ways, almost three-dimensionally. It's not like one idea comes to me, I'm doing that. No. Usually something happens, I make a reference of it, and then all of a sudden something comes from a different angle, in a different angle. And it's like, all right, and I'll point up. I got it. And I see it. And that's big decisions that I make typically happen that way. They don't happen. They're not. You know, I'm not that big smart guy sitting in the chair making these quick, unrational decisions. They come to me in almost like 3D.
Yeah, that's a really good image. I like the way you said it, because what we're doing as we're living as disciples in the marketplace is we're living with the Lord who's with us. We're committed to excellence and the whatever business we're in, to doing it the right way, being the best we can be, being competitive, all that stuff in a healthy way. But he's with us in how... What he wants us to do is to seek him, to remember he's there, to look for him. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what you're saying. Yes. It's like a script doesn't come down from the sky and drop in your lap, but you're trying to be somewhat recollected, like remembering he's there, you pray to him quietly. You said earlier to me today that you pray a lot during the day. It's not like you carry the Bible with you and are reading it all day long, but you know the Lord is with you.
Having a conversation.
Yeah, in that conversation with him, when you've got issues you have to face that are difficult, you're up against something, you're not sure what to do, you're searching for him. Help me. Can you give me guidance, Lord? And that is huge. It's so simple, but it's huge.
And it's very important to understand we're human and we are going to crash and burn. I mean, I've been talking on your show for a few days now, but man, I still make massive mistakes. I still say things I probably shouldn't say.
Yeah.
I still make big mistakes. But knowing that God wants us to make it, He gave us the Holy Spirit to pray for us in grumblings that we can't even understand. So He's not there to sit there and drop a hammer on us. Why would He give us the Holy Spirit to pray for us in words that we don't understand? So not only does He know that we're weak in our earthly bodies, He also gave us the Holy Spirit that, okay, look, I know that you're trying hard, but I'm also going to give you the Holy Spirit that's going to pray for you because you don't even know how to pray. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And so when you start reading the Bible, all these things start coming to you that are support mechanisms for God to help you make it. He wants you to make it. Mm-hmm. And I think so many of us are looking at it like, oh, you know, hellfire is going to come down on me. And it's like, no, He doesn't want that.
Yeah.
He is going to allow some things in your life to make you go in the right direction. Honestly, if we didn't have hard things in our lives, wouldn't we just rock back on our heels and just enjoy the ride, so to speak, and not get any better?
Yeah.
It wouldn't do us any good.
You know, you've been talking a lot about the role of Scripture in your life. And again, the words of Pope Benedict XVI kind of echo in my mind. He said at one point, it was like 2005 or something, he said, it's my conviction that the secret to a new spiritual springtime in the church is the daily reading of the Word of God by all the baptized. And then he said, I say that because there's nothing like the Bible, the Scripture. He said, you meet the person of Christ there, and He speaks directly to you. Mm-hmm. He took this image like a cow that chews its cud, it sucks all the juices out of it, and then swallows it, and excuse the crude example, but and then it regurgitates it and does it again,
yes,
you know?
Yeah.
And he said, this is what we need to do with the Word of God. And
great
he said,
analogy.
This Word has a capacity to transform and change you in a way that nothing else like it does.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the themes I've been hearing all week as you've been describing reading Scripture and what that meant to you as you began to grow in your faith.
The Bible will help you keep your true north.
Hmm.
Imagine swimming with a lot of current. You can't touch the bottom of the lake. You are swirling with the waves and the current. And how do you live a life like that? The Bible gives you a foundation to stand on. You will feel the current against you, but you will stay put. And that's what gives you that peace. Without that true north, where are we going?
Yeah.
And what we're going to do is just bounce like a pinball from one thing to another. And quite honestly, we get tired. We look for a distraction from that tiredness. And a lot of those distractions take us to really bad places.
Yeah, no, that's really well put. Can you stay with us one more day tomorrow?
Yeah, I would love
to. Make it a full week?
Yeah,
great.
Sure, why not?
It'd be good to have you back, friends, and encourage you to tell your friends to listen in. And if they haven't had a chance to hear Brig this week, to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are archived there, as I mentioned earlier in the program. But wherever you are today, friends, just remember the Lord is with you. He's right there. Remember Him. Call upon Him. Seek Him, and He'll help you in whatever it is you're facing. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.